Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Friday, February 11th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 164, paragraph 3, commenting on the third sentence only, which begins with clear away and ends with your past. Today's readers are Sherry Z for the 12 Steps, Carol F for the 12 Traditions, Robin P, Jordan L, and Leslie W. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, February 10th, Thursday, is 18535. That's 18,535. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, February 11th, is 18540. That's 18,540. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. To carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Sherry Z to please read the 12 steps.
This is Sherry Z from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God, and so happy and thankful for your service. And these are the 12 steps of our Readers Anonymous. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Oh. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service and thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you very much, Sherry Z. And I will now ask Carol F. to please read the 12 traditions.
Yes, good morning. This is Carol F., food addict in recovery from Maryland. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Carol F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. But we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 function on your telephone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 164, paragraph 3, reading and commenting on the third sentence, and I will ask Robin P. to please read and share.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everyone else on the meeting. So on page 164, clear away the wreckage of your past. Wow, that's perfect. I had so much wreckage when I came in to this program. I was very overwhelmed by it, and I kept running to the food to console me and hide, and it works until it doesn't work. And I just had to clear away the wreckage of the past, surrender, just do the steps in order. I was so afraid of the fourth step, and I wasn't at the fourth step, I was at the first step. And so the steps are such a blessing, because even when I wrote the list, the eighth step list of the people I had harmed, which was part of clearing away the wreckage of my past. My sponsor at the time said, oh my gosh, I'm too overwhelmed. I feel really overwhelmed about writing this list. She goes, you're just writing the list. If you're contemplating, there's a frog in my throat. If you're contemplating, how you're going to make an amends to this person, you're in step 9 and you're only in step 8. So it, just taking it a step at a time was such a blessing for me. And by the time I got to that step, as long as I had done the step before, I was ready for the next step. I turned my will and my life over to the care of God. And then, having known I did it, I could do a fearless and thorough moral inventory of myself and admit to God, to myself, and to others the exact nature of my wrongs. I could do those steps. And I'm so grateful that they're in the order that they're in. I believe that's God. I live freely today. I always love the feeling that there's no one on the planet that I would cross the street for today. And there was a list when I came into this program of people I was going to cross the street for. And also, I came from so much child abuse and just a really traumatic childhood. And I have a good relationship with my parents today, and that's a result of clearing away the wreckage of my past and getting to live in the present. And anytime some voices try to come up and haunt me, I just know that that's not of God, and I give it to God. And that's what steps 10, 11, and 12 are for. So God bless everybody with a very blessed and abstinent day. I am so grateful to be on this call with all of you and sending you a big hug. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Just wonderful start. Okay, though we value your experience, we really do ask that you limit your share to every third day in case that others, in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple days, then we'd love to hear from you. Please press star one to unmute and let me know.
Shlomit Hana.
Shlomit Hana.
Marie M.B.
Marie
U.K.
M.B. Marie M.B. and Liz E.
Danielle W.
Danielle W. And I heard somebody come in with Danielle.
Michelle.
I still didn't get it.
Dana P.
Dana P.
Jordan L.
And Jordan L. Okay, let's stick with that for now. And one person, boy oh boy, I cannot even read my own writing here. So I have Shlomit Hana. And is it Miriam B.? You'll know who you are, so I hope you're able to come forward. Sorry, I can't read my own writing. Liz E., Danielle W., Dana P., and Jordan L. Okay. And is it Miriam B., the second person? I will trust that she'll come on at the right time. Okay. So Shlomit Hana, please get us started, and then we'll have, I believe it's Miriam B. Shlomit Hana, star one to unmute, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. It's talking away. Thanks so much for your service. Thanks, everybody, for this meeting. It's so good to be on a Big Book meeting. And this sentence really resonates with me. It reminds me very much of the ninth step promises, which says we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. And in the past, when I've worked the steps, I have always thought about clearing up the wreckage of my past as being, you know, doing that fourth step inventory, looking at my character defects, and then making the amends to people that I have harmed. And that certainly is clearing up the wreckage of my past, for sure. But there's another element that I never thought about until very, very recently. And that is, once you've cleared up the wreckage of your past, letting it go. Letting it go. And I say this because about a little bit over 2 months ago, the bottom fell out for me over just something in my life, a relationship in my life. And I've had a lot of anger and a lot of regret. And for the first time in my life, I've questioned why I was in this relationship with somebody, whereas I never did that before. And that can really eat you alive. When you're so full of regret that you just can't let things go. And the beauty of these steps, working in these steps, is that we get to work through all this. You know, we get to look at our inventory and see what ideas in our head are germinating and going around and around and around and around and not serving us. And then we get to make amends if we've done any wrong. And that's so cleansing. And through that process, I mean, I haven't gotten to step nine yet, but through that process, I hope and I believe that I will be able to clear up the wreckage of my past, not just with the other person, but with myself. With myself, because as compulsive overeaters particularly, we are really, really good at beating ourselves up. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to clearing up the wreckage of my past, and through doing that, making room for the future and God's plan. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Shlomit Hana. Okay, now, was there a Miriam or Maria or
Marie B?
Marie B, thank you very, very much. I'm so sorry I wrote your name so quickly. Okay, please share with us.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. I'm hoping that you have a great day. Clearing away the wreckage of my past, it's interesting because I'm on step 9 right now, and I've been in and out of OA for several years. I've just been new to Vision in August, and I love step 9. Like, I've done 4 through 9 over the decades, and I've had a bunch of different responses to my amends, some funny, some not so funny, but in no way have I ever regretted any amends that I've made. And, you know, it's so worth it to just clear it all away. After years of making amends over several step 9s, where I find I am now in this age is living amends. Like, I never saw it before, but I'm starting to see how my disease affected my children and my family. And really taking a look at that now, there was just so much clutter I had to clear away first. Amends that were, you know, front and center on my mind and were keeping me stuck. But now I have a clarity where the amends I'm working on are more towards repairing my relationship with my family, clearing that wreckage. And it's not easy, but I'm here for it. And it's interesting because normally I'd like to fix things, right? So it's like, oh, my daughter's mad at me. What can I do? How can I take over? How can I control? No, now I pray about it. If there's nothing I can do, I don't stress about it or have an impulse to eat or overmanage, take on the director's role. I just ask God, what's my next step? And, you know, sometimes my next step is nothing, which I have to say is the hardest possible thing for me. But with his help, with my higher power's help, I'm able to do it. Clearing away the wreckage of your past is a lot like decluttering a messy room. You know, it's hard work and you're kind of reluctant to do it. But man, once it's all done, you just feel so different inside. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly. But anyway, I'm so grateful for this program. And I want to leave with one thing because this is killing me to know. But several years ago, I went to a meeting.
That's a reminder.
Thank you. With a friend. And, well, I'll save that for another share. Anyway, I wish everyone a blessed day. And thank you all for being here. Thank you for your service. With that, I pass.
Thank you, too. Thank you so much, Marie B. Liz E., you're up next, followed by Danielle W.
Good morning, good afternoon. My name is Liz Eve, elegant, recovered compulsive overeater in the United Kingdom. Oh, what a privilege to share on this amazing paragraph. And we're just looking at this sentence, which is so powerful. Clear away. This whole program is about me being clear about things. It's about being clear of understanding things, and clarity is really been the one amazing thing. I was just talking to a sponsee, we're doing step 6, and just really understanding what my character defects are, and doing that kind of work to really understand and be for me to be clear about what my character defects or behaviors are, and so that I can be clear about the mess I can make in my life, the mess that I self-sabotage my life so easily. And for this, I'm just so grateful, particularly for Vision for You, where I have got an enormous amount of clarity. And that clarity is giving me insights in how I can, you know, have a better life. But I have to do this with God, with my higher power, and I hold his hand all the time. Well, no, that's not true. I aspire to hold his hand all the time. And sadly, being human, I slip into self-will quite a lot. But the clarity for me around clearing the wreckage of my past is really giving me signs and direction on how I can have a better life. And my life is better today because I didn't realize I was rubbish. I am rubbish at relationships. I thought I was quite good. But the level of sabotage that I have put into my life is really astounding. And yeah, just amazing. Clear away the wreckage of your past. And that is, you know, the ticket to freedom. And it's about understanding that. And it's not so that I behave more as a victim. It's not so I sit on the pity pot. It's so that I can understand myself and how I wreck this life. And what So I now have solutions on how to move on from that. And I'll leave it there. Thanks a million. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you very much, Liz E. in the UK. Glad you're here. Okay, Danielle W. is up next, followed by Dana P.
Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered one day at a time. First, it's such a gift to be able to study this book in these little bite-sized pieces. I just, as we distill down to each line, there's just so much wisdom and so much to learn from. And I'm grateful that we approach it this way in this program and in this group. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Part of my disease was living in a state of delusion. I knew that I was killing myself with food, but I really believed that I was only harming myself. You know, I also came from a very violent past and survived horrific abuse. And so I was a victim. That's really the only lens that I could look through, that I was the victim. And there wasn't really any room for anything else. But this gentle program and guidance of amazing people helped me to start to see more clearly. And quite honestly, it was scorched earth. I had done so much harm in my work, in my relationships. And you know, I don't think without, as somebody said earlier, the way the steps are designed, you know, I came to believe, and when I had that sense of security that I had a power greater than myself, or I was at least willing to consider that, it opened up an opportunity for me to start to really look at myself. And this journey through step four and making amends, and it's so cleansing. It's almost like a rebirth. It gives us an opportunity to start anew. And what I've realized is the wreckage is really what blocks me from my life. It blocks me from the people I love. It blocks me from being who God wants me to be. And it blocks me from a relationship with my higher power. And this process, which I didn't even know existed, has allowed me to clean out that channel in a way that I can show up differently in my life. And I my relationships are so deep and meaningful now. And I can hold my head up high. I didn't realize that because of all the harm I'd caused, I was carrying so much shame. And by cleaning that up and taking responsibility for it and behaving differently and staying closer to God, I'm free, and free in a way I just didn't know was possible. I'm so happy to be here today, and I thank everybody for your beautiful shares.
And thank you for yours very much, Danielle W. Okay, Dana P., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service, Dana P. here in California. And I so appreciate all the shares that have come before, and especially, you know, the little journey through the steps, because really, ultimately, every single thing is connected. And as I've been listening to the shares, it's like I'm looking at this web, and every place you touch the web, everything else is bouncing and moving. And ultimately, what's at the center of that web is our higher power, it's, you know, our God, and everything is connected, every single one of us. And it just really hit me how the book is that same way, you know, this book that we study. And what keeps coming into my mind is that the prayer in the 10th step, free me from morbid reflection, obsessive guilt, and fear. And that's what I lived in as long as I carried around all of this wreckage from my past, was morbid reflection, obsessive guilt, and fear. And it's such a miracle, you know, that I would say, yeah, probably very close to 100% of my 9-step amends were nothing what I expected. You know, it's all built up in my mind. And, you know, the past is the past. And what comes to me this morning also is this beautiful set-aside prayer that says, release me from the up to now, detach me from the after now, allow me to be fully present in the now. Because ultimately, it's only in the now that I can do the work that is necessary to become one with my God, you know, to clear away that wreckage. And I don't do it. I do the work. I do what I'm told to do and go to my God. But I don't fix any of that stuff. It's my God that fixes it. And so I'm just really grateful for this program. And I'm going to pass with that. I'd love to hear more shares.
Thank you very, very much, Dana P. That's a great prayer, too. Jordan L., you're up next, and then we're going to take another lineup, and we're commenting on the third sentence only on page 164, clear away the wreckage of your past. So, Jordan L., please share with us, and then we'll take another lineup. Jordan L.? Star one to unmute, Jordan. Maybe I didn't hear Jordan L. before. Okay. Well, though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share also. So if you'd like to comment, please press star one to unmute and let me know.
Irene B.
Larry
F.
B. Larry
hold on just a Jordan second. L. My pen.
Irene B.
Oh, Jordan L., you'll be the first share. Okay. And
Kelly
then I'll take
H.
Irene B. Carrie
Chrissy
A.
M.
Chrissy M.
Larry was in there.
Sally P.
I'm sorry, I heard somebody P.
Sally P.
Sally P.
Larry and
okay,
Michelle. Larry was in there. We missed him.
Larry and Michelle J. Thanks so much, Jay. I mean, Michelle. Okay, Larry. Okay, great. Okay, so we'll have Jordan L. And then Irene B., Carrie H., Chrissy M., Sally P., Larry didn't get just the first initial of your last name, and Michelle J., if there's time for everybody. I hope there is. Okay, Jordan L., please share with us.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I was distracted and ran back over to my phone. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. thank you for moderating for us this morning, Elaine. God, this paragraph is amazing. It's like the directions. Whew. It definitely strikes you after, it strikes me after I've been practicing this for a little while, imperfectly, might I add. So I'm taking an economics course right now, right? And we just learned about this concept this past week. It's called a Pareto improvement. And it's a change such that someone is made better without making anyone else worse off. And it struck me that practicing this way of life and living in this and following these directions and doing it with you all and the compulsive overeaters in my life that I now call friends that are that I'm close to and I share with I practice, I follow these directions with, that has enabled me to live in that world, right? And it's funny because the world hasn't changed. The world is very much the same. The world around me is doing the same thing that it's always done, right? And it's doing the best that it can, hands down. But practicing this way of life, it enables me to live in abundance. It enables me to live in this place where I don't have to take from others in order to get mine. I don't have to use hostility to like fight my way to the top or to the bottom, like wherever it is that I like to hang out, right? I don't have to do any of that anymore. I've been shown how to live usefully and purposefully and in abundance. And it's completely and totally a result of the 12 steps and of practicing them with other people, like understanding how it is that this stuff can be applied to my daily life, directly applied to my daily life. And I have to do that with other compulsive overeaters. And one of the requirements for that is trust. And it's just not possible to establish it without clearing away the wreckage of the past, you know? And again, like, it's something I do imperfectly. It's something I do imperfectly. I'll wrap up. So it's not like one clear and everything's perfect and now we move on and it's like butterflies and rainbows. That's not how this works. Like I constantly come back to the present and check in and see if there's wreckage. So anyway, I'm very grateful to share this morning. That's all I got.
Thanks so much, Jordan. Okay, Irene B., you are up next, followed by Carrie H.
Good morning. This is Irene B. Thank you for your service. I'm so grateful to be here and participate in the meeting. I love the wisdom of taking these instructions one sentence at a time because each sentence is powerful. And it would be so easy to blow through all of this and miss so many gems. Clear away the wreckage of your past. You know, I always saw myself as the victim. It took me coming to these rooms 4 years ago to learn. The biggest takeaway for me from doing the steps is learning that I had a part in my own misery, that I played a part. I wasn't just a victim. You know, I was the person running the show and so many other things, but all I could see was being a victim. And the wreckage of my past, yes, there is so much wreckage in my past, unquestionable. And a lot of it wasn't on my own doing. My truth is that I am a child of trauma and I use food to cope. And there's a lot of the wreckage that needs to be fixed, but the way we go about fixing it, the way that I need to go about fixing my wreckage, it's kind of like, kind of weird, because I have to look at the damage that I do and clear that wreckage. And then sometimes I need to understand that I was a victim. I was a victim. I'm saying it. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I said that. Oh, no, it's sacrilegious. Yes, I was a victim when I was little, but I'm not little anymore. So I need to clear the wreckage of my part. And it's so multidimensional. And most people go into denial. And I'm the opposite. I want to take responsibility where the responsibility isn't mine. You know, I take this, what is my part in it, to the extreme. Because that's what I do. And because I want to do things perfectly. So if a pinch of salt is good, then a pound is that much better, right? That's my sick mind. That's my perfectionism. So I'm just grateful to be here. And I just wanted to share my ash with regard to this. Because it is my ash. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much, Irene B. Thank you for sharing. Carrie H., you are up next, followed by Chrissy M.
Hi, this is Kelly H. from North
Carolina.
No worries. Kelly H. from North Carolina. And I'm so grateful for everyone's shares, because it's made my mind have to think a lot already. So thank you all. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And I love the reference somebody made regarding step five, because my thought here is that in doing step five, I learned that impatience has formed more wreckage in my past than what I had previously known prior to my recovery work. Of course, completing my resentment and fear inventories taught me to destroy two false notions that I had learned in life. One, never pray for patience and always look on the past with rose-colored glasses. Those two things that our culture teaches people at large had to be destroyed in my own recovery. My renovation, my recovery requires rigorous prayer for patience. And so I will boldly pray for patience, because I know impatience caused so much devastation and wreckage in my relationships with loved ones. So in being recovered, I'm being called to be bold. Be bold. Clear fear of a superstition, of a cruel and mischievous God. If I pray for patience, well, I better be careful, right? No. If I need patience, I will pray for it. My God is powerful, sovereign, and loving, and he will direct my path when I lean on him. My recovery makes me have faith in my higher power, who will never lead me into wreckage if I lean on him. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kelly H. And we are running short on time, so I appreciate the shorter share. Chrissy M., you're up next, followed by Sally P. And if you can shave a few minutes off, seconds off, that would be so great. So Chrissy M., followed by Sally P.
Yeah, good morning. This is Chrissy M., grateful, recovering bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive overeater in Oregon. And this is a meaningful passage to me. I'm working through step nine right now. I think, like many others, I thought in my own mind, you know, how can being bulimic hurt others? How does that create wreckage? You know, I have a spouse that's in the other program, and in ways it felt to me like that wreckage was much more tangible and visible. And so I was able to, I guess, delude myself into thinking that, you know, I was only hurting myself. And I think I'm coming up on my second year of abstinence for my eating disorder. And my ability to be present and the richness of my relationships with my family, I guess, is such a contrast to what was before that, you know, I see the wreckage. I see how not present I was. I see how damaged my relationships were in ways I couldn't be aware of when I was in that mind frame. And I think the one thing in having, you know, a lot of family members who've chosen not to do recovery and to stay in their illness is that, you know, the ability to clean up the wreckage of your past is such a precious gift. I'm going through the ninth step, and I would say most of my ninth step conversations, the other person has cried. And what was more powerful is it wasn't only about me, but I enabled healing and restoration to happen for somebody else because of what I did. I had a conversation with my brother where he just sobbed for what I made amends for. And I didn't realize how deeply, I mean, I had awareness, but I had no idea how deeply I had hurt people until I did this. And I am so grateful for the precious gift to be able to restore and allow others the opportunity to heal. And I see how positively it's impacted others. So it's like the gift of that is secondary. And, you know, there's a lot of people who don't get this opportunity, who don't choose to work the steps or to walk away from their illness. And even though this is hard and it's messy and there's a lot of anxiety about, you know, what will this process be like and what will it feel like to go and admit my wrongs and face my wrongs, you know, there's a lot of people who don't get that opportunity. And it's a gift to do that. And it also helps me to extend grace to others. You know, others have extended a lot of grace to me. That's the other thing I experienced in this is a lot of forgiveness, a lot of
gentle
grace,
reminder.
And understanding. Thanks. I'll wrap up. And that enables me to be more forgiving and give others grace as well. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy M. Sally P., you are up next, followed by Larry.
Hi, this is Sally P. from Colorado. I'll be quick. For those that are terrified of the ninth step, I was absolutely terrified, and I procrastinated forever. And I've been to the steps quite a few times, and the first times was, you know, that was the big amends. And as I continue to clean up with amends. And I, about 2 years ago, I went to return something back to Bed Bath & Beyond, and I was really snotty to the girl. She was that was taking my return. She wasn't acting the way I wanted her to. She was in a bad mood. I was snotty. And, you know, 2 weeks later, I continued to, you know, justify that I was right and she was wrong. And then a friend's like, if you're still feeling guilty and talking about this, you need to look at it. And so I ventured out to go and make my amend to this woman at Bed Bath & Beyond. And I decided, I was procrastinating still, that I would stop at another store that was on the way to just, you know, browse. And lo and behold, I walk into this store and this lady comes up to me and she says, "Can I help you?" And I look at her and I'm like, "Oh my God," it was the same woman from Bed Bath & Beyond. And I instinctively took her hands in my hands. This like loving being came over me and I just said, "I need to make an amends. You know, this is like 2 weeks ago. You were working in Bed Bath & Beyond and I was incredibly rude to you and I'm very sorry for that." And she looked at me like I was crazy, but you know, what blew me away, I mean, years ago, someone said to me that, you know, you just have to be willing to make the amend. God is going to set up the situation for you. And that's exactly what God did. I mean, to bump into, to be on my way to make an amend to a woman who worked in a completely different store and have her show up in another store, that was God. So for those of you that are afraid to make your amends, they're scary. But you don't have to do it alone. You got your tribe and you got God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Larry, you are up next, followed by, oh, hang on a second. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I'll let you say what you were going to say.
I may have missed Sally P., and I'm not sure. Sally P., that was not you that just shared. It was
Han,
that
was
DM, right?
Sally P. that Sally P.
Oh, it was?
Shared.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Sally. I'm sorry.
Story.
I didn't do my
okay.
little check mark, and it throws me way off. Larry, please share with us. And I'm not sure if we'll have time for you, Michelle, unless Larry cuts it short. And I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, Larry. The floor is all yours.
That's all right. My name's Larry G., and I'm recovered compulsive eater. And the thing that keeps me up at night, if I'm asked to do the moderators, try to keep all these names straight. You're doing a great job, Elaine. Oh, my goodness. What amazing shares today. It is just an honor to be amongst so many fine people in this program. A lifetime of regret or a moment of courage. That's what I'm faced with when I need to make a restitution. And the motivation is I really want those promises that are spoken about after step 9. And mainly a relationship with God that will protect me today and tomorrow from the consequences of my compulsive eating. So I'll pass and let the next person have some time. Thank you, Elaine, for your service.
You are very gracious, Larry. Thank you very, very much. And Michelle J., you will be our last share for today.
Thank you so much. Michelle J., calling in from Arkansas. Love the shares. Love you all. So I'm thinking about the fact that I've been with all of you for 3.5 years, and I am recovered today by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I have had some ups and downs, and every time I crashed, I did not, what is going on? Why do I go back to the food? Well, it was kind of like this humongous 10-car pile-up crash in my life, okay? So we're going to clear away the debris. The first time out the door, I got a sponsor, I worked the program, I did all the steps, and I cleared away, you know, the cars got moved out of the road. But here I am trying to figure out what on earth would call me back to the food, but I didn't care, by gum. I needed that food, but I knew there was something going on. So then some more wreckage. Maybe I would be, first thing I had to do was believe and trust in God in its entirety. I was only trusting God just so far. So that was a good one. Got sobriety again, lost it again. What's going on? So here we go. Just recently I realized, you know, when you're in a huge car crash in life and you've got all this debris and you got the big stuff carried away, and as time goes on, you get the little stuff carried away. I was broken. My back was broken. My legs were broken. I might have been paralyzed. And sometimes I was even paralyzed in a wheelchair. This is how I'm envisioning this process. And God was just gently saying, yeah. And every time I wanted the food and went back to it, I could just sense, I need more. I need more. And I learned to trust God more. I learned to do more amends. And I learned to see what my broken parts were doing to other people, and not just what they did to other people, but what they did to me. They were paralyzing me. I have got some roots that were just so far in there, I really couldn't have relationships. I kept thinking, no one will ever love me. I've got to work so hard. I've got to do it just so right. I've got to just be so right because, well, gosh, vision will kick me off. Maybe my sponsor will kick me off. My husband will leave me. My daughter-in-law, well, she already didn't like me, so she'll just, you know, take my son away. Oh, my gosh. And so with that in my head, what I was doing to other people around me, oh, my goodness. I've damaged myself. I've damaged others. And just getting all that cleared away. And just continually. So, you know, I am clean today, and I am free today because I've learned to trust God even more. I've learned to trust the 12 steps and getting rid of the garbage and just being still before God. That patience thing earlier, someone spoke, it is so doggone true. Just be still. I couldn't work the program. I couldn't. I just needed to be still and wait. And then God came, and He has been restoring. Oh my goodness, so much stuff. And I look forward to more and more in this process and more with all of you. And I'm not afraid anymore of the process. The journey's been long and hard, guys, but I'm clean today, and I've got recovered today by the grace of God. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you very, very much, Michelle, and everybody that has shared today. So very grateful for your powerful shares. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordanelle please read A Vision for You?
Yes. Hello again. Thank you for letting me participate today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.